Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is our gospel reading from John chapter 14, where Jesus said to the disciples on the night he was betrayed, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And today we speak not just about the Holy Spirit, but about peace. Dear friends in Christ, we've been busy in my family buying some cars recently. My son got a job in Cedar Rapids and he needed a car. And my daughter is taking courses at the community college and she needed a car. They both needed ways to get around. So we've been buying cars. And there is a lot, it's called a lot of angst and anxiety, because we don't like buying cars, especially because we're certainly not buying new. We can't afford to get one new car, much less two most of the time. But if I told you that saying that, if I saw an ad on Craigslist and I came and called them up and said I'd just give them the money, but I want to get that car, well, you might tell me that maybe I'm being a little bit naive. That maybe I should, I don't know, see the car before I tried to buy it. And certainly before I give them any money. But you might even say, you know, you might try going further and go to, say, a dealer, but some of the dealers aren't much better. Our anxiety didn't go down much when we went to one dealer who said his policy is that his cars are not only not inspected, but that he won't even assure us that they actually drive. We were careful. We wanted to be careful when we went there, which doesn't mean we couldn't buy there, but we didn't have a good feeling. You'd like to be able to see the car. You'd like to be able to take it out and test it on a drive, make sure there's nothing obvious wrong with it. More than that, you'd like to be able to take it to another mechanic and have them look at it and see, is it okay? Be sure that they say also that there's nothing wrong with it. And beyond that, you want the place you're buying from to be so sure that they're sending you a good car that they give you a warranty too. You'd like all of that. You'd like all these things to agree that the car is going to be running, that it's a good car, that it's a good buy and you can trust it. We want a guarantee. Even if we don't have a reason to doubt the car's value. We want to be able to have peace with that decision. And that's what we wanted, to have peace. Now, today is Pentecost. And today, we celebrate the Spirit's coming, and today Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit. And we're right to celebrate His coming today, and His coming with power. But it can be awfully hard for us to understand, what does the Spirit do? Why do we celebrate it? After all, if I asked you what the main message that we preach here, what the main message of the Bible is, what would you tell me? And you might tell me something like, Jesus died to save us from our sins. Or you might say something a little longer. You might quote Scripture and say, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life." And if you said that, good. That's a good summary, actually, of what we teach. It's a good summary of what the Bible teaches. It's a good summary of what God says. But when you look at it and you reduce it to one sentence, we might still ask then, well, where is the Holy Spirit? What does He have to do with any of that? It talked about God loving the world, the Father sending His Son. But what about the Spirit? Why do we celebrate the Spirit today? Well, Jesus talks about the Spirit and relates Him to His death today for us in our gospel reading. Jesus talks about His death. He says He's going away. He says that the prince of the world is coming. But even though this is what we always emphasize, and we're right to, there are other places that talk about it differently. Today in our gospel reading, he doesn't talk about his going away, his death, as a payment of sins, for sins. He instead speaks about assurance. Even about his death. He says that while the devil, the prince of the world, is coming, he has no power over him. But what does Jesus in his death do? He's obedient to the Father. In his death, he says the world will see that he loves the Father. That's what he says about his death today. And the Father showed that love was mutual. When he raised his son from death, and he raised him up to his right hand. Well, combine the resurrection and the ascension together, because there's still one part. The raising to life and the raising to the right hand of God. God raised Jesus. True God, surely. But just as surely, true man. Over and above death, over and above the devil, the prince of this world, over and above all things, to the right hand of power. That Jesus' death was not the end, but the opening of heaven to men, and that's the assurance that it gave, that he went to his death loving the Father, and the Father raised him up. That's assurance. That is peace. But that message can seem cold in his absence. It did for the disciples during those 3 days. In the tomb, the disciples mourned, and even when the woman came with the story of the resurrection, they at best wondered. During the next week, Thomas doubts. And remembering his denial, Peter continues to mourn. And these are the disciples. These are the ones that Jesus was with the most. And even during those 40 days, they need assurance. And so certainly as Jesus rises to the right hand of the Father, they need assurance. Not just God, that God dwells with the man in Jesus, but that he dwells with them in particular. They need peace. In Christ's ascension, it gives them peace. Christ ascends to give them peace, not just like the world gives. The type of peace the world gives, where we might have peace until the next war or the next harsh words. We might have prosperity and lower taxes until the prosperity ends and the taxes go up. In this world, peace is temporary and there are always counterindications. But the peace that God, Christ, gives, ascends to give is greater in scope. It encompasses the whole world and in time. Because Christ ascends to give life with him eternally. And he doesn't do it just halfway. He doesn't leave us wondering. He rises and to send the Holy Spirit. He rises so the Father will send the Spirit. And the two of them send the Spirit. Why? What will the Spirit do? He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Christ was consistent in what he taught when he was here, that he was going to the cross for men to give his life as a servant. He reminds us, what does the Spirit do? He reminds us of what Jesus said and what Jesus did. The Spirit and Jesus speaking for the Father also all speak as one. They don't speak at cross purposes. His ascension tells us that flesh will ascend. And as He ascends to give us that assurance, He also ascends to send a Spirit to assure us that this promise is also for us. It's not just for the 12 or the 120 gathered on Pentecost, or maybe the 5,000 at perhaps one of Jesus' bigger sermons when He fed the 5,000. But this assurance, this peace, is for all men who share His flesh. It's for all that He sends His Spirit to. The Spirit doesn't come to give a new message, a different message, a better message. He comes to share the same message that Christ preached, that the kingdom of God is near and near in Christ and Christ alone. He comes to say what Jesus said, that the kingdom of God has come near and the Father's grace extends to all men and to you. The grace extends to all men and to each man and to you. Christ's death is for all men, and Christ's death is for each man, and Christ's death is for you. Christ ascends for all men, and He ascends for each man, and He ascends for you. That's the Spirit's assurance. Christ's work, His Word, the Spirit work together to give us that peace, that we don't need to worry. And Christ and His Spirit go further, because as the Spirit works in our lives, as the wind blows on Pentecost, there is more assurance and more peace, because as we have that assurance, we don't need to wonder and fret. We don't need to ask, like they do later in the chapter of Acts, what shall we do? The Spirit works in us so that we too can work in the kingdom, spreading the same word we've received, the Spirit may go further, doing the works of God as He created, so He has us to create, and people are fed, and houses are built for people, and people are clothed. Such is the work of God, and such He lets us do. We receive further appearance of assurance of the kingdom. We don't just have the assurance. We have the assurance, we'll put it positively. We do have the assurance in Jesus' death, in His resurrection, and His ascension. But we also have the assurance in the words that He spoke that tell us what He accomplished, that our sins are forgiven, and that we have eternal life with Him. We also have the assurance of the Spirit that comes through those words to tell us they are true, to bring them to remembrance. And we have that same assurance when we see the King, the Spirit working, that the kingdom is extended even through us, that the One who controls all things also has us work. We have assurance and peace. It's not like when you buy the car and maybe you get all those deals, but then you still have an odd noise on the way home and you wonder, was it all the false? The Spirit, the work, the Word, all work together to tell us that God is faithful, that we have His peace. His peace rests upon us. So hear the Spirit today as He speaks God's Word. Hear the Spirit today as He tells you to see God clearly. As Christ dies on the cross and rises for you. Hear the Spirit today as He calls you to proclaim what God has done. Let the peace of God dwell in you richly today. In word and spirit. May it rest upon you that you may share it also with others. For God has given His forgiveness and His peace in Christ, and God gives it to us through His Spirit. Rest in that peace today. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.